Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this special service with the singing Psalter 321, the stanzas 1 and 2. How blessed the perfect in the way, who from God's law do not depart, who holding fast the words of truth, seek him with an undivided heart. Psalter 321, the stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 3. Psalm 3. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. That's for the reading of God's word. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. O Almighty and Eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in this evening hour, a special evening, a prayer service wherein we may come together round about thy word and holy testimony. So in the middle of the week, thou hast given a place in thy house of prayer, here with the congregation and with others from the neighboring congregations, and also with the delegates from the different places in the classes. Thou hast given traveling mercies to the delegates that they could come this way. Thou hast given in this afternoon that we could meet with many of them already. And now in this evening we may be round about thy words, also for the prayer service, to ask if thou wilt be in our midst on the day of tomorrow. Thou knowest what lives in each one's heart. Thou knowest what goes through our minds. Thou knowest the needs of each one individually, as we here sit or as we here stand. And wilt thou then look upon us in mercy? May we have a quiet hour in thy favor in this evening. And when we are called also to lay the needs of the congregations here in the classes before thee, wilt thou then give a prayer to pray? But the psalmist also asked, teach me to pray. And Lord, wilt thou then give also that in our hearts, or that our hearts may go out unto thee? Otherwise we can bring forth some words, or we can have the form in this evening. And we need to have the form, but if it is only the form, then it remains so empty. Therefore we beseech thee, O Lord, wilt thou be with thy Spirit in our midst, or that the Spirit of prayer and supplication also may be poured out upon us, and that we with one voice also may call upon thy name. If thou wilt hear us from thy holy throne, if thou wilt give us also in the time in which we live what is needed. O then so often it is said, we live in dark and evil times, and the times wherein we live are not easy times, they are dark and evil. But Lord, thou art still that same God, yesterday, today, and forever. O wilt thou then remember us in mercy? Wilt thou work with thy Spirit also among us? There is not any reason in us that thou would do so, but thou hast never done it because there was any reason in men, but thou hast always taken reason out of self when thou hast looked upon thy church. And so in this evening we may lay thy church before thee. O wilt thou then remember so each congregation, each individual congregation, also in the classes, wilt thou remember them in all the cares, in all the needs, and older ones, and wilt thou watch over them, wilt thou care for them, and wilt thou give also that thy word which is open so from Sunday to Sunday may bear fruit in the midst of the congregations. Lord, and we may lay before thee also the vacant pulpits, wilt thou then remember also those congregations where is no minister in their midst, or that we may lay that before thee. Wilt thou then graciously send servants to them? Oh, thou canst do that. It's only a word from thee. Wilt thou then remember also the congregations which have a minister? Or wilt thou watch over thy servants, or those who are here in the midst of us? Oh, that we may lay our brothers before thee. Thou knowest what they need, when they may bring thy word so from Sunday to Sunday, but also him who cannot do it anymore as it was the desire of his heart. But wilt thou also watch over him, our emeritus minister, also him who cannot be in our midst, Reverend van Ruitenburg, wilt thou also remember him and give him what he needs for body and soul, and that well they cannot preach and do the labors anymore, or that they may still be, that they may carry the congregation and the denomination upon the wings of prayer. Lord, wilt thou watch over the consistories, the elders and the deacons. Lord, thou hast laid a task upon their shoulders, and that they may do it willingly, but also looking up unto thee, that thou wilt strengthen and uphold them. Wilt thou teach them from the inner sanctuary, and that they may experience that thou knowest of them. Lord, wilt thou also be with our denomination, and that we may lay all thy servants before thee, that we may lay the widows of thy servants before thee. O wilt thou remember each one of them, and wilt thou give them also in this time in which we live, that thou wilt send forth laborers into the vineyards, but also that thy word may be blessed, that it may be added to that living church. Wilt thou convert then what is unconverted, and wilt thou strengthen what thou hast wrought? We must lay thy church worldwide before thee. O thou knowest also where they gather together. Wilt thou watch over thy church, also when thy church is persecuted? Wilt thou remember the length and the breadth of the earth, all thy servants and all those whom thou hast called to labor in the vineyard, the work on the mission field, the work among the Jews? We may lay it all before thee. Lord, remember so also in the midst of the congregation here in Pixiebuttes, but also all those who may gather together, may listen along by the way of the means. And in a special way, we lay before thee the widows and the widowers in their empty places which has come in their lives. Thou knowest what they need. Wilt thou strengthen and uphold them? Remember also those who have lost loved ones. And Lord, then also in this evening hour, that we may lay before thee also the families who has lost children. Or that we have this classes meeting at this time is also a reason. And then in a special way, we lay also these families before thee. Thou knowest the empty place in their hearts and their lives. Lord, strengthen and uphold them, and give them what they need for their bodies and souls. Above all, Lord, wilt thou fill that empty place with thyself, and that the eyes may be directed unto thee. Lord, that we would not drown in the sorrow and in the grief what is come upon us, but that we may lift up our eyes unto thee, help, strengthen, and uphold. Lord, remember the sick and the afflicted ones. Thou knowest those who are on the doctor's care, those who have to undergo treatments, those who walk with a fear in their lives. We may commend them unto thee. Will thou be with them and strengthen them and uphold them? Lord, may we also lay before thee all the cares, the needs in the congregations, in the denomination. There are crosses which we must bear, unknown to others, but known unto thee. Will thou give them, that we may bring them unto thee? Lord, remember so in mercy, and will so be with us in this evening, when we are called also to open thy words, to explain thy words in the midst of the congregation. Will thou give insight into the truth, O that thy word may go forth with power divine. It's a special service, but Lord, will thou then give rest insight, give rest in the congregation. May thy word sink in the hearts. May men fall away, and that thy name may be glorified. Thy kingdom may come also in this evening. Lord, remember so in mercy. And Lord, then we forgot also to mention thy old servant, Reverend Hood. He cannot be in our midst in this evening, but will thou remember him, the place where he is? Will thou be with him in his high age, when he may still go forth, proclaim thy word so from Sunday to Sunday? May he be for a blessing among his people, together with his wife and children. Lord, we ask thee much. We have nothing to plead upon us, to plead upon of ourselves, but wilt thou then do it for thy great name's sake? Wilt thou do it for Jesus' sake? Amen. We'll continue with the singing of Psalter 414, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of thy foes who wanton oppress me. And what follows, the stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter 414. In the meantime, your offering will be received. There is only one collection which will be for the expenses of the classes meeting. We'll now sing from Psalter 414, 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, dear delegates, dear brothers in the ministry, a special hour in which we may come together round about God's words. Special hour tomorrow, if the Lord gives it, we hope to have the classes meeting. And in the evening before the classes meeting, it's a good custom so to come together as delegates, to come together also as congregation, and also in the neighboring congregations round about God's words. To what end? What is the purpose of this evening? You say it's a prayer service wherein we must ask the Lord if He also would be in our midst on the day of tomorrow. Then as delegates we have seen and the agenda is sent to us. And then we look at the agenda and on the times there is not so much on the agenda. Still, it's good that we may come together also as classes to different congregations also to meet with one another. But even when there is not that much upon the agenda, still we must ask the Lord if He would be in our midst. Because if we have to do it in our own strength on the day of tomorrow, what must become of the meeting? That will become a failure. But when we may do it, also in the strength given by Thee, then we may look up unto Him for His help, for wisdom. And by nature we can think, and so often we think we have a certain wisdom, especially when we may serve for some time in the office, we have some experience, and still must we experience time and again to that every wisdom is lacking. And you say, how must we then go forward? How must we deal with these matters which will be placed before us? Prayer service also for the day of tomorrow. But the prayer service, also in the classes meetings, it's not only that we pray, not only that we ask for the classes, but that we must also see that brother, because we are part of a denomination. Three different classes in our denomination, we as classes far west, may meet together tomorrow, but that we also may lay the needs of the whole denomination before the Lord. So often we hear that we live in fearful times, and we do, congregation. And then we must say we are further away than we even realize. We become so used also to what takes place in our society. When we think also of the two flowers which are left in paradise, think of the Lord's Day, when we think of so marriage life, these two flowers are trampled upon. When we think also the departing from God's word, that we have gone our own ways, we follow our own desires, and in the midst of that world, we live as a congregation, and we breathe also that same air. And then we, perhaps a little distance, but then we see so often we are also following what takes place in the world. The Lord Jesus had said, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Is that still experienced also in our days? Say, fearful times. But one thing will remain the same. By everything what is changing, also in the time in which we live, one thing will not change. And what is that, children? Do you know? What will not change? You say, the Lord Himself will not change. because he had said it in his word, I am the Lord, I change not. And that is now also the hope, also in the time in which we live. It's the hope of God's people, it's the hope of the church, but it's also the hope for the future. So the time in which we may live, I change not. And that word of God remains the same. And that word of God may still go forth, so from Sunday to Sunday, it may be preached the different places, also in the classes. And I know there can be many concerns also in the different congregations. We can have many concerns when you see congregation shrinking or becoming grey, or when we see what must become of the congregation in the future, we can have many concerns. But that we then may lift up our eyes unto him who is the one who has said to his church, I am with thee always until the end of the world. And so in this evening, so we may have a prayer service together. And in this evening, I would like to ask your attention for the words of our text, which you can find in the portion which we have read together, Psalm 3, the verses 1 through 3. So the first three verses of Psalm 3. There we read God's word as follows. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. These words, they speak of David's comfort in his affliction. David's comfort in his affliction. And with the help of the Lord, I would like to ask your attention for 3 points. First, the cause of his affliction. Secondly, his complaint in his affliction. And in the third place, his trust in his affliction. David's comfort in his affliction. First, the cause of his affliction. You can read that in the superscription. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Secondly, his complaint in his affliction. You can read that in verse 1 and 2, where he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? So he begins to complain. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So that we hear his complaint. And then in the third place, his trust in his affliction, where he says in verse 3, but thou. Then he may look the other way. Then he may look up for a moment, and then he may say, O Lord, thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. May then the Lord lead us into the truth in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, dear delegates, dear brothers in the ministry, when we read this superscription, then we can clearly see when this psalm has been written. It's in the time when David had to flee for Absalom. It says so, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So what has taken place? Or to have a right understanding of what David writes here in this psalm, we need also to have the background of this psalm. David had to flee. And why had he to flee? He had to flee for his own son, for Absalom. What has taken place? We all know Absalom had taken the kingdom with deceit. He has, as it were, stolen that kingdom from his father David. What all has taken place, I cannot not go into every detail, but still we know what has taken place. We know that Absalom, he has murdered his son, the son of David, so his brother. And why did he do so? Because his brother had forced Absalom's sister. So what was there a grief? What was there a sorrow? What was there also a sadness in the family of David? And then Amnon was killed. And what took place? Absalom had to flee away. He had fled from the face of David. But came a time David began to miss his son Absalom. And it was noticed. And then Absalom was called back to come to Jerusalem again. First, he was not allowed to see the face of his father David. But the time came that also that hindrance was taken away. David and Absalom, they saw one another again. But there was something in the heart of this son Absalom. He has something. I want to have this kingdom. I want to drive away my father. I will even kill him. I will have this kingdom. It will be mine kingdom. And in a very subtle way, he begins to steal the heart of the people. And there, we read that so also in 2 Samuel 15, verse 6, when the people came to Jerusalem also to have justice done to them. Now we read, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. What do we then see? Absalom has a beautiful name, son of peace. He became a son of war. So he has stolen that kingdom. And now David has to flee away from his kingdom. But when we relate a little of the history, what has taken place, is now everything said with that? Why David had to flee away from Jerusalem? You say there was a deeper cause why Absalom had done this, why David had to flee away from Jerusalem. And what was the cause? That was David himself. What has taken place, dear congregation? That sin, what David has committed, that sin what David has committed with the wife of Uriah, with Bathsheba, and then afterwards also has killed Uriah. Again, that sin has been brought upon himself, David. And then Nathan the prophet had come to David, has pointed out this sin to him. And what had he said? Thou art the man. And that David has become the guilty one. We may also say that. David became the guilty one. No, he could not uphold himself longer. But there he became guilty before the Lord. And then we have also those two beautiful psalms. Psalm 51, Psalm 32. Wherein he has also, as it were, cried out before the Lord his guilt. Where he has confessed that guilt. Where he also has received forgiveness of sin. But what has taken place, dear congregation? Then, because of what has taken place, now the sword shall not depart from the house of David. What did Nathan say to him? He says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 10 and 11, now therefore the sword shall not never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. May say, the sins of David, they were forgiven, but David has still to bear that punishment. And this, what now also takes place here in this psalm, is also a result of David's own sin. What a lesson lies declared in this. What a lesson lies declared also in that history of David. What can also lies in guilt upon the church of God? What can lies a guilt upon those who must serve in the church as ministers, as elders, as deacons? Or then, as it were, the world looks upon them. Or then can also those office bearers can be the cause that the holy name of the Lord will be blasphemed. Because that is what we read also in God's word. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme. So I said, what a warning lies in it. So in the dark times in which we live, must we not walk in a holily before the Lord? Or must we have a tender walk before the Lord as a congregation, but also especially as consistory members? Or that the Lord also would keep us. May there also be much prayer in the midst of the congregation. I may ask you, pray then also for the office bearers in the church. They are not angels. They are not men who are perfect and know all things. No, they are also sinful creatures. And if the Lord let them go for a moment, then they will fall in the most gross sin. Therefore, we need to be spared. We need to ask daily, Lord, keep me. In the morning, when we begin to do our labors, Lord, keep me. And in the evening, when we may come home again, Lord, keep me. Or that we then may have that tender walk in the fear of the Lord. Here in this psalm is also a warning what comes to us. Here David, he may say, when he fled for Absalom, or then David is as it were an example also what can take place when the Lord let us lose for a moment, that we will fall. This psalm, Psalm 3, has also a deeper lesson in it. And we must also mention that also in the introduction, also when we hope to go to the words of the psalm. So in this, we see not only David himself, we see also the church of all ages. We see him back also in this psalm. And therefore, this psalm, also by the church of all ages, is also loved by the church. Oh, how often have they also not seen their own life in this psalm? Sometimes it is said, when it is spoken of the book of the Psalms, it is that spiritual apothecary where they find also their own life. Or that we then also may see that in this evening, when we for a moment hope to go through this psalm, through this part of the psalm, also the way of the church in it. But there lies also a lesson in this psalm, where David also was a type of the greater David. He was a type of the Messiah, of Christ who would come. No, Christ, David had here to suffer because of his own sin. That is true. Christ did not suffer because of his own sin. But Christ had to suffer. Why? Because of that sin of his people, what was placed upon him. So the sin of his people was imputed unto him, and therefore he had to suffer and to carry away the sin of his people. And therein, hope also to see that in tonight, that we hear also the voice here of the greater David. Well, because could David not also say, David had to say, how, O Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Must also not the greater David say that when he was as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, when also out of his own disciples stood up against him? Or then we see, as it were, David fleeing out of Jerusalem, his own son stood up against him, his servant stood up against him. But was not also that Christ complained? Did not also Judas stood up against the Lord Jesus Christ? Did not also his own disciples also deny him? Did he not flee away from him? Did not the people around the Lord Jesus Christ not also cry out when Christ was driven also to the judgment seat of Pontius Pilate? Crucify him! Crucify him! So therein we may see also a little of that path which David had to go. We see it also in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in an outward sense. Because when David had to go out of Jerusalem at this time, then he had to go there through that, over that big, that brook of Kedron. And then he has to go that same way. Christ had also gone that way, where we read that in John 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden in which he entered and his disciples. So we may also apply this psalm to Christ. This psalm is also followed upon Psalm 2. So what do we see in Psalm 2? There is spoken of Christ, the Son of God. Also the stability and the enlargement of his kingdom that would come. He, Christ, the King. But now also in Psalm 3, it is now taught us through what way that kingdom shall be established. It shall be through a way of suffering, death, but also the resurrection, and then he may sit at the right hand of God the Father. God's true church also must expect and to encounter many troubles. In that sense, they must also follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord Jesus had spoken to the church, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And in John 15, verse 18, he says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before you. The cause of his affliction. Now in the second point, we would like to go to his complaint in his affliction. Do we read in our text? You can follow it. Lord, he said, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. So that we hear David's complaint. He says, as he begins to call upon the name of the Lord. You can read it also with those capital letters. That is, he speaks to the Lord as the covenant Jehovah. He is Jehovah, Lord, he says, thou art that faithful covenant Jehovah. So he may still lift up his eyes to him. He may speak to him, Lord, he says, but how are they increased that trouble me? Oh, many are troubling me, those who are around me. Yea, even my own son, he came forth out of my loins. He, troubles me. He stands up against me. He wants he wants to have my life. He wants to cut me off from the earth. He wants to take over my kingdom. He troubles me. And as it were, you hear also that as a question, how is it now possible that those who come even forth out of me, for whom the country, the nation, for whom I have done so much, they trouble me? Because when we think of the time when Saul was king in Israel, oh, then it seemed that the Philistines, they were taken over, the nation. It seems the nation came to naught. But then the Lord has given to the people of Israel this King David. And when the King David was also could go in and out before the people of Israel, how much good did David do for the people? And this is now also, is it now the reward what is given also to David? Is it now the reward of the people to him? Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Oh, from all different sides they stand up against me. Oh, they do not show any kindness anymore. Are still the worst some who did so. Because now we see the crazy and the platy coming. Then we see also some around David who have gone with him. No, he had not to go alone by himself when he was driven out of Jerusalem. No, not all Israel stood up. But when we see to the majority, they stood up against him. And what do they now say to him? He said, then he said also in the text further, they, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. As it were, they begin to accuse David. They begin to say to him, David, you have sinned away everything. As it were, they begin to accuse also of what he had done in the past. They begin to say, David, the Lord will not help you anymore. The Lord has forgotten you. The Lord has forsaken you. The Lord will not look upon you anymore. And that is such a bitter arrow what comes into the hearts of David. Oh, then that missing of God. Many say there is no help for him in God. It can be in the outward sense that they said it to David. Oh, then they can, as it were, call it in his ears. But it is also when Satan begins to call that in your heart, or when it is all the voices inside, the Lord will not look upon you anymore, David. You have no hope anymore. What are you looking for? Are you still trusting in God? You don't have to do it anymore. It is done with you. No hope. The Lord has forsaken you. I said this psalm also is as it were a type of the Messiah, what we see in this psalm, a messianic psalm. Therein we see also what it is when Judas and the multitude came up to Christ, when he stood up against him, when he also has, as it were, cried out, crucify him, crucify him. When they has driven the Lord Jesus Christ from the hall of Caiaphas to the judgment hall of Pilate, and from there they have driven him to the cross, and there they have nailed him to the cross, and there they have called it also out to him. What we read here, there is no help for him in God. Did he not say to Christ in Matthew 27 verse 43, we read, he trusted in God, let him deliver now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. How sharp were those arrows which also were directed to the heart of Christ. We may also see here the church of all ages, because that is not a strange way what the church also has to go. And perhaps there is also a church sitting here in Pixie Butte, We say that is not a strange voice. When they also call that inside, when I hear those voices, inside and outside, or then the enemies of God's people, or can they be busy also to trouble them, to stand up against the church of God? Or then Christ had told them, and they had said to the church, in the world ye shall have tribulation, and that is so true for the church in general. It's a wonder when we see, so also here still, Canada, the United States, we may still come freely around God's word. We may still go up to God's house. What a blessing that is. Do we still appreciate that? Or we take it so for granted what we may have, congregation, that we may still so from Sunday to Sunday freely come up to God's house. And how often do we not see that we also despise what we still may have? When the Lord gives the opportunity to be under His word, then we leave our places empty. Must never do that. Children, youth, parents, when you may have the opportunity to come with your children under the word of God, will you come up to God's house? Will you sit under that word of God? It is the means which the Lord has left unto us. The Lord can also take His candlestick away from us, that He will take away the candlestick from us, place it somewhere else, that there will come a hunger and a thirst for the word of God, or that the Lord begins to close the doors of our churches, that the Lord begins to close also the pulpits, or that the Lord begins to take away the living preaching. Or the Lord can do that. Therefore, must we not also in a prayer service like this, when we may ask also for the classes, the Lord will remain among us. If the Lord will set His footsteps among us, the Lord will still be with us also tomorrow, but also in the unknown future. But also in a day like this, that we must also think of those places where they cannot come together around God's word as we may, where they are persecuted, where they are driven away from their homes, from their churches, and where God's word cannot be found anymore. And where also, in the most literal sense, also to them is said, there is no help for them in God, driven away. But how can it also be inwardly, people of God? How can it also be inside where Satan begins to accuse, or then begin to accuse, and there can be many accusations. Or when I think of Joshua, when he stood there before the judge, then he stood there with his filthy garments. And so the church must so often also experience that also in their own life. Then they say, oh, that sin. Perhaps in an outward sense they can keep their walk straight, but they know what lives inside, what goes through their minds, what goes through their thoughts, what goes also in the night, in the dreams. And then they must say, I am a guilty one. And how can now the Lord look upon such a one as you are? And as Satan also he tries with his claws, comes in between, begins to, as it were, to cry in that soul, for you there is no help by God. Or such a soul, seeking soul, who cannot be satisfied with anything else than with a word of God. And say, are you seeking God? Are you asking for God? You can better stop. Go back to the world. Enjoy your life for a moment. Because the Lord will not help you. Is there so, such a people also in our midst? Or what an anxiety can it also give in the heart? And when it is said here in these words, many there which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, then the marginal notes, they also point and out, they say that in the Hebrew word, the word help, that is also a letter extra in it, where it says that a word signifying salvation or preservation. So there is no salvation for you. There is no preservation for you. So that, as it were, the emphasis is on that word help. It is, as it were, it's enlarged and, as it were, greatly emphasized. For you, there is no help. And then you sit there. Those words come to you. And you don't know where to go anymore. Oh, when Satan, when he gets, as it were, get the upper hand. But then the Lord, oh, he knows also how to find that people and how to speak to that people. Do you know what that people say? Or then he begins to look upon themselves and they say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? One is there who can deliver. And that one, David, also, as were his eyes were directed to him, where we don't read, so in the following verse, but thou. But let us sing first, before we go to our last point, from Psalter 5, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say in vain for help, he on his God relies. Psalter 5, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
David's comfort in his affliction. First, the cause of his affliction. Secondly, his complaint in his affliction. Now in the third place, his trust in his affliction. Now we read so in God's words, but thou, as it were, we see here a turning point in this psalm, where as it were first he saw that dark side, the enemy was pursuing him, the enemy was going to devour him. But then in his affliction, as where he may look away the other side, and then he may testify, but thou, what a wonder that has become for him. Then in all his afflictions, then he may look away from it, and he may say, but thou, what a word that is. Also, dear brothers, also tomorrow when we must have classes meeting, or when we then look upon all what takes place in the church, we now think also what takes place in our nation, what takes place, and it doesn't pass by our denomination either, neither our classes, not either our congregations here. And then we can, when we see upon a dark side of that cloud, then we can become so despondent that we must say, but how must I now go further with us? How must now go further with the church? What must now become of us? Parents, do you never have that? When you see upon your children, and you think, how must I now go with them? How must I now go with my little children? They grow up in a world which lies in darkness. Will they be allowed also to receive the instruction from God's word in the future days? Will they still allow that our children may hear of that wonder of regeneration, what is so necessary in man's life? Will still be allowed also to preach and to instruct our children what is also in daily life necessary, when we speak about marriage life, when we speak about the day of the Lord, when we speak about also in a broad sense what is now what has God laid before us in his word. Then when we begin to think of that, we can become so despondent. But then to say, also what David he may say in this psalm, that he may look away from all the circumstances, and then he may say, but thou, so that he may lift up his eyes unto the Lord. What a blessed place that is, if he may do that. But thou, and then he may speak in this verse, he said, three things come to the foreground. So, O Lord, he says, thou art a shield for me. That's one. And he says, thou art my glory. That's two. And then he may also says, O Lord, thou art the lifter up of my head. So three things may David testify in this verse. Now we will see for a moment. So those three things what he may set before us. First of all, he speaks about that shield. He said, thou art a shield for me. What is a shield? It's not so difficult to explain that, young and old. A shield, especially in the olden days, when they had to go out for war, then they took along with them a shield. And what was that shield? What was that for? Because those many arrows which came, the spear what came, the sword what came, then they had a shield, and then they could put that shield between them and those arrows. So there was something stood in between. And now David may testify here. He says, now the Lord is now my shield. He is the one who stands in between. He stands in between the enemy and me. He is the one who will defend me. That was David's hope. What a blessed place, if you also may have that hope in your life. Then David, as a man of war, he also often used those elements which were used in war. So then he speaks here also of a shield. The Lord has said to Abraham, he said, I am thy shield. So Abraham was also afraid. And when the Lord comes to him, he says, I am thy shield. A rich lesson lies declared in that. I do think also of Hezekiah. We know where he was on that sickbed, where he was in that great need, where in that sickbed, where he has cried unto the Lord, or where he also has seen that sin, or where he has seen, or as it were, also those voices has sounded in him. There is no help for you, Hezekiah. And what had he done in that need? Then he has cried it out, undertake for me. Then he has cried it out, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And what does that mean? It is that surety, although that shield must come in between, set thyself as that surety in between me and mine enemy. Or there was that need for Hezekiah. Or there was also that need for David here. And is there also a people here still in Pixiebut who are also in that need? Oh, then they see the enemy coming. But must also say, congregation, or when the Lord comes, when the Lord himself comes for his justice, when the Lord, as it were, himself comes as an enemy to the soul, because the Lord, he asks his justice, he comes for his justice, and when he requires his justice, how must that then go? How must it then go? That must the wrath of God, that must rightly, must also that arrow, that sword, must fell upon me. But what is then so necessary? Also that the Lord Jesus Christ may come in between as that shield. Thou art my shield. And what a wonder that that sword of justice has come down, not upon that sinner, but has come upon Christ himself, where he became, as it were, that shield for his people, where he, that blood has given, when he has given himself from eternity, where he came in the time, where he was nailed to the cross, where he has given his blood, and now that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as a shield, what comes between a holy and righteous God and a sinful creature. Thou art my shield. Is there also a people here in Pixiebut who may have that need in their heart? O Lord, be thou then my shield, because that sword that will come, if we are not behind that blood, the congregation, then that sword will come. And now is still the time also to find that place in the, or in that place, in that shelter place of the Almighty. Oh, that we may seek also that place, to find that place in him. Thou art my shield. The Lord will so uphold his people with his blood and with his righteousness. And they become, then Christ becomes his and their shield. Second, what we also see in this verse, then he says, thou art my glory. You say, what does that now mean, minister? What does that mean now? Thou art my glory. Then marginal notes and also the commentaries they point out, say they can point to two things. First of all, it can point to that David says, thou art the author of my glory. So David, he was taken from behind the sheep. So he was taken as that shepherd's boy. He was taken out of the field, and the Lord has exalted him. He has made him king over Israel. The Lord has given him the glory to be a king in Israel. But now he had to flee away from Jerusalem. Now it is as it were, the glory is taken away from him. But now David may see and he may testify, thou art my glory, thou wilt restore me in the glory which I had. So So then he may also, then faith may be in exercise. Thou art my glory, so thou wilt restore me in the glory which I had. It can also mean thou art the matter of my glory. So then it is not David anymore upon whom glory is bestowed, but then David may say, I may now glorify in the Lord himself. Then the Lord becomes everything for him. Then he finds the glory in him. It is what the Lord had done for him. And then he may glorify in the Lord. What a blessed place that is, if we may find that glory in him. I said, this is also a messianic psalm. So then we may see also David as a type of Christ. How is it done for Christ himself? When we then speak about the glory, or then we must say, the Lord Jesus Christ had that glory when he was in the stillness of eternity, when he was in the bosom of his Father, then he had that glory therein, that eternal, in that bliss where he was with his Father. Then he had to leave also that glory, that glorious place. Then he had to come to that low earth, low I come. In the volume of the book that is written of me, then he came also to pay the price for the sins of his people. And for to do that, he had to leave that glory of the Lord. And so he came down to this low earth, and as it were all the glory he lay aside. Or there were some times when he took, as it were, that glory a little upon him. When we think also when he was on that mountain on transfiguration, now we have seen something of his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. But that glory, he has received it again after his suffering, after his death, when he was laid in the grave, but when that grave could not stay closed, but has been opened. And on the Lord, in the beginning already, the Father has laid glory upon the Son. But later, when he has taken him up into heaven, has restored him in the glory which he had, where he now may sit at the right hand of God the Father. So there he has received that glory again. And that he may now sit, that he may now sit where we read in Acts 3 verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his Son, Jesus. And now he may sit there, and he shall receive the full glory when he may come back at that last day, that judgment day, when he may receive, as it were, that kingdom, and when he shall receive all the glory, all the honor, till all eternity. Oh, what a rich lesson lies and also concealed in this verse. Also in verse 3. Then in the third place, then he may also say, thou art not only a shield for me, thou not only my glory, but thou art also the lifter up of my head. So now he takes, as it were, we see a picture before us taking place. And we can explain that also for our children. What is that picture what we see? Sometimes you have that child, or then you see a very sad child. You see him, head goes down, looking to the ground, does not dare to lift up his face, does not dare to look up to his father or to his mother. And then we see father or mother comes to the child. And what does that then do? As it were, he bows down to that child, and he takes that head of that child, and as it were, lift up that head. My child, look now me in my face. Oh, and then begins to wipe away the tears, and then begins to comfort that child. Do you see? Lifting up the head, look now up to me. Lifting up the head. David says, when I had to leave Jerusalem, when I had to go and to flee away from Absalom, what was that? What did it do with me? Oh, that made me ashamed of my deeds. That made me to remember also what has taken place. Oh, then he wept and he cried when he left Jerusalem, and then he has also covered his face. We see his face going down. He does not dare to look up. Or then it can also be when we have grief, when we have sadness in the soul, and there are, we may say, also in the congregation here, and also in the neighboring congregation of those who may listen along, or those grieved souls, they don't dare to lift up their faces anymore because of the grief, and their head hangs down. Can also be because of despondency. When we think of all what takes place, when we think also of ourselves, what we think of it all, and then we think, the Lord will never hear me anymore. The Lord will never look upon me, and become despondent. And then we do not dare to lift up our faces anymore. But what does now the Lord do? Now as the word now comes, he comes to his child. And he bows down to that child. And he comes to that child who don't dare to lift up his face. And he says, now, my child, look now up to me. As it were, he takes that face of the child. And he takes that face. And then they may look for a moment also in the face of their Father, their God, the Lord Jesus, the Lord himself, where he may see them up in that face. And what do they see them? In that face, or when the Lord comes also in his favor and comes down to that people, and when he comes to lift up the faces of that of his children, then they see. We read so in Psalm 97, they see that friendly face of the Lord, then they see him also, he has thoughts of peace and not of evil. And he begins to comfort that people. And he begins to wipe away the tears of their eyes. Or at those moments where the Lord also begins to embrace that people, guilty in himself. But the Lord, he looks upon them and he comes to comfort them. And that is now comes also forth in these words, lifting up the faces of his people. When did the Lord do that? The first time, the congregation. When does the Lord lift up the faces, the heads of his people? He did that already in the hour of regeneration. That is that first time when that change comes in man's life, that state is renewed. So when that from state of death are placed in that state of life, in the hour of regeneration, then that head is already lifted up. But now also in the standings of life, because there can be times also in the life of God's people, and the Lord still, we still believe that. But the Lord leads his people also in an orderly way, but in the standings of life, so often, they also so often look down because of sin and iniquity, or because what has taken place in the past, what has taken place also recently, and so often they don't dare to look up unto the Lord anymore. I do think, I've told it more often to my congregation, when I once visited my uncle, when he could tell what the Lord had done in his life. The Lord had taken away all his guilt, where the Lord had spoken in his life and had said, I see now no sin in Jacob and no perverseness in Israel. How the Lord has taken away all his sin, and now all the sins were removed, and so he could testify what the Lord had done. And when we were talking together, then he began to complain about himself again. And I said to him, I said, now, my uncle, now I don't understand you anymore. If I knew what you knew, what you may know, I would never complain anymore. And then he looked at me. He says, do you know? The Lord has done that, yes. The Lord has taken away that guilt. But do you know what took place? Sin came in between. And your uncle needed to be converted again. then I might speak about the daily conversion, or there is a people, or they become so poor in themselves, also in the way of sanctification, they become not rich men, not rich people, not arrived Christianity, but they become poor in themselves. They need to, our rotten head needs to be lifted up day by day, otherwise they will sink away in grief, in despondency. But the Lord, He will care for His people. The Lord, He will also care for His church, and that will He do till the end of the times. Also in the dark times in which we live, He will take care for His church, and therefore that is also the hope where we may come together tomorrow, that we may look away from everything that is of self, because if we must do it in our own strength, if we must keep the church also as ministers, as elders, as deacons, then we must say it is a hopeless case. But because He who lifts up the head of the church, who lifts up the head of that individual child of God, He will also take care for that church till that last day. Does that take away also the responsibility that lies upon those who must lead in the church? No. They have also a great task that is laid upon their shoulders, that they may do that and must do that so faithfully. But under to look away from self, to look up unto Him whom has said, and I have spoken that for a moment also on Sunday afternoon in Nobleford, where Christ Himself had said, I must work the works of Him who has sent me. As long as it is day, that must go forth, that work must go forth, and He will do that. Time will come, then comes the night, and then no man can work anymore. Then the door will be closed forever. Now is still the time and the days of grace. Seek then the Lord while He is still to be found. Call upon Him name, upon His name while He is near. Congregation, we would not... Adam has God's word also a fountain of comfort, what lies in it. Oh, then he is the one who will take care for His church. David could see it, and then he could sing. And that is now also the application for tonight, when he said, I had cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He had heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Oh, then he was safe in the Lord. There's no better place than to be in that pavilion, or that you may also find that place in Him. And if we may also gather together in that way tomorrow, we may experience, He, Lord, Thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Adam, we may have, and we will have, a good day together. Or may it then be, so in the midst of the congregations, so be much prayer, the Lord will remember us in His mercy. Amen. Lord, we have come at the close of this prayer service, where we have tried to follow for a little moment also the prayer of David, or when he was also in that great need, and then he could say nothing more than that it was his own fault. Yes, he brought himself in that great need. But in that need, he could lift up his eyes unto thee. Then he could say, but thou. And may it also take place in our life, when everything accuses us, when we must say we have done everything wrong from our sight, we have sinned away everything. Lord, and there is nothing in us where we can plead upon. But Lord, wilt thou then look upon thy church, and wilt thou also look upon us on tomorrow. Also in him, thee sits now at thy right hand, who had laid down his glory, but was given also his glory back when he returned to the Father, and now may sit there at the right hand of the Father, and still also cares for his church. Lord, look upon us, and also on the day of tomorrow. Give wisdom, give understanding in all the matters which will be placed before us. And in a special way we may lay before thee him who must lead the meeting. Give him so what he needs. Oh, he has done it many times, but every time is a new time. Wilt thou then be on his left and on his right, and give to everyone who will receive a task, also in the meeting, to all the delegates, what is needed. Keep us safe on the unsafe roads when we go from here. Keep us through the night, that we may open our eyes in the new day, refreshed, and that we may return tomorrow to this place, and that we may have a good day, good time together. Wilt thou graciously forgive all what was sinful and amiss, and wilt thou bless thy word, we ask it, in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close this service with the singing of Psalter 88. Thereof the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 88, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord I will at all time bless. In praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek shall hear with joy. And what follows? Stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 88.
Thank you.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.